The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
WWDB AM 860 stands in solidarity with Ukraine and prays for peace. We are thinking of Philadelphia's Ukrainian community during this time of crisis and hope their families remain safe. The United Ukrainian American Relief Committee is fundraising to provide shelter, food, medical supplies, and other humanitarian aid. To learn more, please visit uuarc.org.
Store 15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, people from all over the USA can tune in simply by logging onto AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And if you have Alexa, you can tune in every Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 12 noon, Alexa 860 a.m. radio. As always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. Send them a note, send them a text, whatever. I want to say, first of all, thank you to the people that are doing that, because our list of supporters continues to grow. And what makes the thing about radio and internet and social media so unbelievable is that people can tune in anytime. Many people tell me I tune in when I'm home. I sit back, relax, listen to exactly what everybody is saying. I tune in when I'm doing my emails at 9 o'clock at night. It's a whole new world, and thank you. And while you're thinking about all the good things that we say, please go out and spread that message to your family and friends. First, I want to say a thank you to all of the radio broadcasters that are promoting my commentary, my weekly Saturday commentaries on their weekend broadcasts. And it certainly has brought us a lot of friends and supporters from many states in the USA. And I can't thank them enough for doing that, because getting that message out that we have to support one another is more important than most realize. I also want to say a special thank you to our great panel members who have added to the quality of our broadcast and our message. The message is very important. I only wish that more people in the national media would pick it up, but I do understand why they don't pick it up, because many of their customers represent foreign-owned countries and foreign-owned products, and they don't want to shake the boat. But thank you to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And I want you to know his link is on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on Made in America store. Whatever Mark is selling is 100% made here in the United States of America. I'm really proud of all his efforts over the years, and I'm going to ask him to give us an update when we get to him today. And also, Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate who was involved with SCORE, keeps his eye on the pulse of what's happening in the USA. And Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, who knows, you know, what's going on. He's down there in Florida, but it checks out all the programs and knows exactly what is happening here in the USA. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, and I thank Henry, because people say it's great, it's timely, it comes out, people know what's going on, and that's really what it's all about. First, I want to say thank you to our guest from last Wednesday's broadcast, Professor Michael Bussler. He's a well-known and respected finance professor there at Stockton University. He's done so many articles and papers and various conferences. I thank him, and I know that he'll be with us again in the very near future. I spoke to him the other day, and he's going to be with us again because he enjoys what we're doing and respects the message. You can hear a rebroadcast of last week. week's show simply by logging on to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, you know, here we are. An entire year has passed. We're already celebrating special holidays this week. Passover, Easter, so many things are going on. It's unbelievable. Where did the time go? But everyone sees for themselves just how quickly time moves forward, and we see really how important it is for us to use our time wisely. And the focus of the Buy American Made campaign continues to bring people together to promote ways to rebuild America's industries and restore more new jobs now, because it's time. We see that time is really not on our side if we don't take action. And as all of us support our small businesses, which we have National Small Business Weekend, American Made Month, I mean, we've done all these positive efforts, and we're supporting America's small businesses, large businesses, non-union, union, and the self-employed. And if more Americans have the opportunity to earn a living and continue to circulate our hard-earned dollars here in the United States of America, many good things are going to happen. You know, when people stop me and they say, Michael, you're always promoting America, I tell them, well, the success of our country, the businesses that we have that employ our family and friends, the jobs that we have for working age and able-bodied people, are all part of one big process. It all makes America tick. We all have to have those opportunities. They're all interconnected. And a quick look at America's most recent 2020 census shows us that at every American went up in population in every category, but job numbers did not match the amount of new people coming to the country or being born in the country. We don't have enough quality jobs, skilled jobs for them to be involved. What that simply means, and being involved in human services, I can say with no questions asked, that valuable time continues to be lost because a growing population always requires a growth in employment opportunities. And when that doesn't happen, that means there is a growth in America's human services and other types of programs. Another did-nothing thing happened in the United States for the last 35 years. Politicians watched as China and other countries attracted our businesses to move overseas in order to expand their profits, but they never took into consideration, what are we going to do to have America's people employed and paying taxes so we can move our government forward? So for several decades, I have, you know, been watching it myself. America's national leaders just looked the other way as the loss of jobs and industries continued, and it caused enormous amounts of programs to be created. Welfare, poverty, all kinds of extended this and that, but none of it addresses one thing. W-O-R-K, J-O-B-S. And why is that? How about I turn first to answer that question? Larkin Conley, why has America's government officials not addressed that issue?
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to the listeners and all the people on the radio in our group. You know, Michael, that's one of the big mysteries of life. We have done a marvelous job of chasing industry off of our own shores and to China. And now, just as an aside, we find ourselves confronted with China buying the largest microchip builder in Great Britain. and they're about to take over control of that industry in Great Britain. It's going to get to a point where they build every microchip in the world, which means we're pretty much at their behest. We pretty much have to do what they want to do. But the problem is with Washington, and especially Joe Biden, is it's like his 2023 budget, which he introduced a couple weeks ago. And no surprise here, it includes trillions in spending, trillions in debt, and the biggest tax hike in history. Biden's been in Washington for so long, he thinks the only way to solve a problem is through more taxes and more spending. But after a year, he's only really making things worse. He really is. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse every day. 8.5% inflation, the largest inflation since 1981. It's lucky that conservatives in Congress are stepping up and trying to solve America's problems by reducing the spending, stronger and larger support for small businesses, and also to eliminate these issues that have Joe Biden has created, where one gets paid not to work, or we say paid not to work. They're really not paid not to work, but through the payments made by the Biden administration, there's no incentive to go back to work. So we need, and we're probably going to get, an enormous turnaround this year, this coming November election. And it's much needed. By 2024, we'll turn this thing around, and we'll start to address our problems instead of, feeding the issues, feeding the flames, and making the problem that much more serious. There seems to be absolutely no concern that America increases its debt daily, that we can't pay it back. I just can't imagine how this is ultimately going to be resolved. And I can't wait for the professor to come back on, because he and I are going to have a great conversation about the changing of world order. And it's about to change. And it's just like China in math and science is number one in the world. We're number 11.
How did that happen, Larkin?
It happened because it was more important to have woke educators telling us that the Constitution isn't 100% right, that our predecessors made mistakes. No kidding. Our predecessors made mistakes, Mike. You got to be kidding me. They really made mistakes.
But, Larkin, these people that are running for the various jobs, senators and congressmen and all, they should be asked to talk about what they have to offer right now. Because you know what happens with elections? The primary passes, then it's summertime. Then by the time the summer is done, they look for the election, and then they do whatever they choose. This is the time to really put a lot of these issues on the table. But the big problem is the people in the communities are not asking their local people running for election exactly what is happening. I went to another debate, and I want to tell you, the questions were so soft. I thought it was me. It would be a bloodbath on the stage. But no, they ask such pussycat questions. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? It's ridiculous. What are we thinking about all these gender issues and all for kids in first and second? I believe that's the job of a parent, not of a person, a third party in a school. Parents and grandparents are supposed to nurture their kids, not have a teacher try to do this to take the place of the parent. I just don't understand it. And that's what
are you just amazed that they're trying to teach second graders about gender identity?
Yeah. I am amazed. I'm amazed that they would put 30% of their debate time on this kind of an issue. Not the bread and butter issues that are affecting every person. Every person in this country is experiencing a $350 increase. Inflation, gas, food, everything that you touch went up. For what reason? We know that it went because gas controls so much of everything around us. To have a truck deliver the product, it's more money. It's more gas, if anything else, than all the prices that of bringing the stuff in from the other place where it's made or being imported from. Everything is because of energy. And yet we're talking nonsense. So we're going to have another thing that may give us another 7 to 9 cents on a gallon of gas. All of that is crap. Let's get back to where we should be, where we were 2 years ago. We were an exporter, not an importer. You know, somebody, I tried to buy a product. In fact, I tried to go and buy the product, and I went and I found out that the company was sold to China. I was devastated over it. So I asked Henry, I said, Henry, can you check this out for me? And he did. And yes, he said, the company that you used, which was celebrated its 100th anniversary in America, was sold to China. And they are deciding if they're going to continue the name, change the name, whatever. And I thought to myself, once a product line is sold to a foreign country, they control the company. They make the decisions, what's going to made, what's going to be distributed. Oh, no. I think that we better start looking out for the freedom of America more seriously, the freedom of our young people more seriously. I've seen here through the supply chain issue that more and more, and I think the supply chain issue is just the touch of the top of the hill right now. I think this is going to return over and over again. And the sad part of all this, Larkin, Rich and Mark and Henry and all of you good people that are tuned in, is the fact that they can now control us through the supply chain. If they want to raise the price, they say the product's not available for a while. Then when you want it, it's available. The sad part of it is those companies were sold to China and other countries. They're no longer located in America. They have no board of directors in America. It's the people in China who control it, just like they control the places now that I want to buy shirts and everything else from. I can't get them from Brooklyn, New York anymore. That's over. I have to go and bring it in from Amazon or whatever, and then it says, "Well, you know, delays are happening in China. Be patient and you'll get it." I thought to myself, what? I can no longer order it? What happened to the people in Brooklyn, New York? Did they all of a sudden, the snap of a finger, forget how to sew? Forget their products were absolutely the very best.
Can I ask Michael something?
Yes.
Good morning, and sorry to interrupt.
Good morning, Dr. Rich Loges.
And it's to Larkin's point. And anyone's welcome to answer this. And I'm not speaking for Larkin here, just to be clear. But you know, the Republicans in Congress are already measuring the drapes for their offices, which I have to say, Mark, I find immensely insulting. When you go into a sale, Mark, do you just walk in and say, "Of course you're going to buy from me"? You probably earn it, right? I mean, you know, right? You probably walk in, probably don't insult their intelligence. So aside from all of that, Michael, since the Republican Party is expecting to have that majority, I have a serious question for everyone. Since they're telling us they're going to be in the majority, here's my serious question, Michael. And if you want to answer, everyone can answer. Who's in charge of the Republican Party? Who's in charge right now? Who's the person in charge?
I have no idea.
Right, you have no
right
idea.
Now?
How can you? So my 5-year-old When I asked my, and this is a true story, I've sent you guys this video if you've seen it. When I asked my five-year-old, Isabella, if I have to ask who's in charge, she responds, nobody.
That's right.
That nobody's in charge. So my question is, who's in charge?
I have no idea.
Why in the world would you vote for an organization, Michael, in which you don't even know who's in charge?
And if you wanted to give them a suggestion, Larkin and Mark and
maybe
everybody, where would you call? Who would you call? Who is the person that's really going to make a call across the country and say, let's address this or that? I have no idea who it is.
Here's the funniest thing to me, and this happens all the time, unfortunately. Who controls the House? Democrats. Who controls the Senate? Democrats. Who controls the executive branch? Democrats. For Joe Biden not to be able to address intelligently address gun control, for him not to address the changeover in this country from gas vehicles to electric vehicles speaks to the fact that he's kind of an idiot, and that the people who stand behind him, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, whatever his last name is, those two people are certified idiots. And here's who's in charge. Steve Scalise is in charge of the Congress, where he is outnumbered severely right now. Well, it was worse, and it's getting a little bit better. But Steve Scalise is in charge, and he sits by patiently and doesn't put his foot in his mouth in a governmental unit that he has no control over. He controls the Republicans, but right now I think there's like 14 less of them. And in the House, Mitch McConnell and... You know, Mitch can't make a meeting unless somebody greases the wheels on his walker. And he shouldn't be leading in this country. But to blame the weakness of a party on the fact that there apparently is no leadership lacks the understanding of how the political system, I have my quote marks up, quote, unquote, works in Washington, D.C.
No, you know, Larkin, you're absolutely...
It's not really that I'm disagreeing with you. See, a couple weeks ago, President Obama showed up to the White House. You saw that, right, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when President Obama showed up, that doesn't matter what you think about his politics. When he showed up, it reminded everybody all over again that when Barack Obama was president, nobody asked who's in charge. In 12 years after the passage of the Affordable Care Act, Barack Obama came back to the White House to take yet another victory lap because there are more people enrolled today, Mark, in the Affordable Care Act than ever before. I just watched something recently about the Affordable Care Act, and I learned something, Mark. Do you guys want to know what Barack Obama said after the Affordable Care Act was passed in Congress? The moment that the final vote, Mark, was cast to pass the Affordable Care Act as law, awaiting his signature, do you know what Barack Obama said next?
No.
He said, what's next? What's your favorite championship ring? The next one. What's your favorite legislative achievement? The next one. Who's in charge at the Republican Party who's delegating whose role is what? Who is it? Who's in charge?
Steve Scalise is in charge at the House.
All right. Wait. But here it is, Larkin. Here's the question. If he's in charge, why isn't he a spokesman for the things that this country needs? Why did Mr. Scalise not introduce the Emergency Energy Act to revoke the presidential order to stop all gas, you know, slow it down and all? Why didn't he do that?
Well, I'm not going to make excuses for Scalise. The only thing I'm going to say is when you introduce legislation, you damn well better have enough behind it to at least get it in the committee. But if you introduce something that Nancy Pelosi doesn't like, that's the point I'm trying to make.
But here is also something. Here is also something, Larkin.
No one questions. But hold on, Michael. Nobody questions that Nancy Pelosi's in charge at the House. There's no questioning of this. Not to my knowledge, there isn't, at least. There's no questioning that Chuck Schumer is in charge of the Democrats on the Senate side. And there's no question that whatever one's opinion of Joe Biden right now, he's the guy who's the titular head of the party. Who's in charge of the GOP? Who is it? Donald Trump?
I told you, Steve.
Is it Trump?
What more do you need to know?
Is it Trump? Because I keep hearing reports that Donald Trump is still the most powerful guy in the GOP. Is it Trump, Mark? Or you're not sure?
Although there's not a Republican. There's not a Republican with half a brain on their head that doesn't find themselves in the very queer position of this guy controls 81 million votes. Now, those 81 million votes were in a this or that election. Right now, Donald Trump cannot and will not be either a candidate for or the next president of this country. He can't be. He called for an insurrection. I'm sorry. He's done. He's like a fresh meat. But I'm surprised at your question about who's in charge for the Democrats and why, I mean, the Republicans, and why you don't listen. Here's what happens when you get in charge and you open your mouth and you do stuff that you shouldn't do or say things that you know won't go anywhere. You just pin yourself in a corner. It's political maneuvering is what it is.
Yes, Larkin, I understand.
I would have come back to the White House after that event where some brainiac in the White House said, why don't we have Barack Obama over here for a meeting and we'll bring some real positivity back into the White House. And all it did was prove to America that Joe Biden is no more in charge of this country than I am in charge of the Vatican. Period. Amen. Period. Amen.
Michael, you've seen that. So we have a senator here in Florida, Rick Scott, who has his 11-point plan. And the moment that he introduced, so he and Mitch McConnell were at a press conference when it was introduced. And after Rick Scott stepped up, seconds after he stepped off the podium, Mitch McConnell got on stage and said, and I'm slightly paraphrasing with my own words, McConnell got on stage after Rick Scott's plan and said, don't listen to anything he just said. We're not going to implement that.
So, Mark, let me ask you,
here's a question. If Rob went around saying something about your business that he wasn't authorized to say, would you just let him say it or would you correct it? And the better question is, if Mark's really in charge as he is, that's how I know that Rob will never go around saying anything that he's not authorized to say. Right, Mark?
Absolutely.
Because when we walk into your business, there's no question that Mark Andel's in charge. Mark, has anyone ever walked in and said, Mark, I don't think you're in charge?
No.
Has that happened ever? No, because there, you know why? No, because if I have to ask, it means no one is. My five-year-old knows that, Mark.
You know, Larkin, I have to let you know this. I have two very fine ladies who try to look in at all the Foxes and CNNs and everything else, and they tell me about which political people on the national scene try to promote jobs in America, American workers, and things like that. The most important thing that I feel should be addressed in this country, and I hate to tell you, they say things like, we need jobs. but never anything that follows that statement. How do we get them back? How do we make incentives come about so that those industries would return to America? It's not that we don't have the people here that would do the jobs. It's that they took the jobs out, and now all the people we would be competing with are located in foreign countries. And to restore jobs here, there's just nobody talking about the well-being of the country. They're all barking about how Nancy looks and how this one looks and how that one looks. There's nothing for the day-to-day bread and butter issues of the American people. And that's the sad thing that we have, whether it's Scalise or Trump or anybody else, McConnell, none of them are addressing the issue of energy in the United States. I can't show you one sentence that they, oh, this issue is very important. Now they're trying to blame Putin. This has been going on since the executive order was signed by President Biden. It was signed senselessly. Yes, Mark.
I want to come on now. you know, you guys are all point on and a lot of good talk, but I'm going to tell you, and Rich, you own business, I own business. This is the toughest time I've had in 36 years, and I'll tell you why. Monday, I listed brutal facts of the current reality for my top five team members, and rapid inflation, product shortage, worker cultural change is the top of it. But I'm going to actually read the beginning of the meeting to you. So, you know, number one, brutal facts we must face right today, the rapid inflation, unprecedented. Product shortage, unprecedented, and I'll get into it. Worker cultural change, unprecedented. No military workforce, so for 2 years we had nothing from Northrop Grumman. No oil mining work for 1 year, period. Our CAM trailer line that we sell, built in Carlisle, PA, Mike, none available to the spring of 2023, period. No CarMate trailers built in Pennsylvania, also available till next year. And no Ford F-250, F-350s, or cabin chassis allowed to be ordered until next January. I won't even flip the page with the new programs that they added to businesses, like five mandated sick days, COVID two-week release plan, the paid family leave. And you add all this up, and it equals no cash flow. And, Rich, you know more than any Rich Larkin, you know, even the owner of my WEC radio station. I've talked to 6 to 10 business owners in the last week, and that's what I'm doing. This is a massive problem right now. And if the SBA, Larkin, with the PPP and the EIDL, didn't ever allow that to happen, we would have the disaster of disasters in business now. But the problem is, how long is this going to go on? And it is only worsening. If I fill my F-350 with diesel fuel over the weekend, it stopped at $125, and I had three-quarters of a tank. We have so many issues right now, and what you guys are talking about is real. All these elected officials that are selfish, never had a business, don't have a clue, and it just goes, you know, they passed a wand one party to another each time in 4 years. They just put the executive orders on. They don't have a clue what we're going through, and that's the major disconnect. But we have a serious, serious problem. I can't get Ford trucks till the fall of 2023. What am I going to put a plow on? So this product shortage, even my brother's been with me, never says a word, like, we got nothing to sell. There's so many problems in this country right now we got to focus on, and I don't know the answer. Made in America, though, the movement's never been stronger. The need, the importance, never, ever been stronger. But if the war of Ukraine doesn't, we had the pandemic that keeps going, we had the administration change, and now we've got a war going on that people are, you know, they put it maybe third, fourth on the news. If this doesn't wake up our country, nothing will. But the struggles we're going through and the stresses of a business it's unprecedented times right now.
You're Mark, you are 1,000%. And as I said earlier, this supply chain issue is
huge.
Going to kill us. Kill us.
You
because
can't get a Ford truck this year.
If you go into some of the stores, you can't even get certain products because they're still stuck at sea. They're in the ports. They're not being unloaded. And, you know, right now,
Mike,
72% of everything that is moved around in the United States of America is done by a truck driver.
Mike, they're talking over the weekend. I noticed Shanghai, they got COVID, they're shutting down everything, and they're talking about their poor economy. I don't care about their economy. Come interview me at
right.
the Made in America store. We'll talk about our economy.
But, you know, to get the American workers and their families elected those people in Washington, not one of them in the last year tried to help with the energy issue. If it was some person, people that I asked, and I can name them if you want, they said, oh, Michael, you know, I don't want to rile the it's a presidential, you know, big thing. We don't want to make a fool out of the president and all. I said, that's idiotic. Total idiotic. And these are Democrats and Republicans.
And
you're working for the people, not for one old horse in the White House.
It's time to unite. It's one country, one goal. I start every Tuesday morning meeting at 7 o'clock with one team, one company, one goal. And the goal is to stay healthy and self-sufficient and provide quality parts, product, and service on time. That's the start of my meeting. We have to get to this. The lip service and the people that are selfish, it's not going to work. We have to wake up quickly to save our country.
And we also have to bring people that are running for the offices, not just say, oh, we'll make it a Republican, you know, landslide or a Democratic landslide. None of that stuff. What is this person's qualifications? What are they going to do for this country?
Right. Rich asked a great question. Who's running the country, the leadership? When they do come into General Welding, they know I'm running it. They may not like it. I say believe or leave. They may not like that. I had a couple of people leave, but they know who's running General Welding and Made in America.
You know, with the pandemic, all of us have continued to watch changes in this entire world that we never would have imagined 2 years ago. But it's happening. And you're right, Mark. If the people don't wise up now, today's children and their children will have a very rough time in this country. It's going to go down, not up.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting what we're seeing. And they're trying to, you know, what they're selling.
What we've raised in this country right now are a huge number of underachievers.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And they're not only underachievers, they think it's cool to be an underachiever. They say, well, work? Concern? No. I'm going to sit at home and play on my computer and find a quicker way to make a lot of money.
Clark.
It's really kind of disgusting. But
Clark, I just want to add to that. A large company behind me, within 5 miles, it starts with an M and ends with a G. I won't say no more. It's a huge company. And they allow you to come in an hour late, take the vacations you want. They've made a Tim Hortons pass available so they can go get coffee anytime or hot chocolate with whipped cream on top anytime they want. They'll probably give you a massage if you want. But you know what? No work's getting done. I just had a guy quit because they don't do nothing.
Well, you know, Mark, you're right, and I have to tell you, I have to give you, before anybody else says a word, you know, this here has happened in our Philadelphia area, too, where people just come and go and do whatever. They say, oh, well,
we work here.
You know, the pandemic has made everybody, you know, is not on their right schedules and stuff like that. Oh, no, we have to go back to the correct schedules. We created, in this United States of America, an economic power, an industrial power for 35 years, but it's not in this country. We've created it in China and other China-related industries and people where we are buying our stuff from. If many of those products stop coming here, we're done because we already lost all of our industries here in the United States. The people with the jobs, like the sewers in Brooklyn that I bought the shirts from, where did those 300 people go to work at the drop of a snap of a finger? Where did they go?
We've got World War II veterans.
Mike, do you remember Michael asking was it two weeks ago, get into office, what's the first act we perform, right? And I said it wouldn't be a policy. I said it would be a question, and you'll forgive the repetition. Question that I have for everyone is, are you a person who wants to be lied to? Are you?
Michael, in the city of Philadelphia, where we had David O come in, and I liked having Councilman O, and I hope liked for him to come back on. I thought his answers were pretty candid, actually, and I like candid. I'm not picking on Philly, but no one can say that in the city of Philadelphia that the residents of Philadelphia don't want to live in a democratically elected dictatorship. When the same organization, Michael, runs a city for 25,000 consecutive days.
Yeah, it's no competition. You're absolutely right. Right.
You can't, and then we can, you know, but we could also go to a Texas or where I am in a Florida, because here's what I've discovered about a lot of Florida Republicans, and I'm not speaking for Larkin here. I'm saying it in my experiences, Michael. Do you know what a lot of Florida Republicans want to live in? Democratically elected dictatorship. A red or blue democratically elected dictatorship isn't really all that different from another, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And a democratically elected dictatorship isn't really that different, Mark, from a dictatorship that is created from coups and force. And why is it that so many people I encounter and I meet want to live in a democratically elected dictatorship? And the answer, Michael, is because they want to be ruled over and lied to. What you're talking about, bring industry back, solve this. That requires a lot of work, Michael. It is easier to live as a serf than a plebe. That's why Americans are conditioned to want to be lied to. Right. I'm not saying you or anyone on this panel, but of course, whenever I ask that question, Mark, everyone answers, no, I don't want to be lied to, of which I say, are you lying to me right now?
Right.
America, are you lying right now?
But Rich, I have to tell you this about the Florida governor. No matter what, he gets national publicity all over because of his different views.
Michael, the two parties.
Why aren't the people in Washington, Michael, doing that? Why aren't these Scalise and all these other McConnells and all? They're doing zero, or any of the people on either side. Pelosi comes walking in, you know. What is she introducing that's going to help every American, 330 Michael, million Americans? What is it?
Michael, the parties are both in the same business, attain power, retain power, and expand when opportune, and collect revenue in all of its forms, including donations, and spend it.
And that's
Mark,
why...
Whether you realize it or not, you actually agree with that because you just said it about 8 minutes ago. All we do is flip from one to the other, to the other, to the other.
Absolutely.
And guess what, Michael? I've been on this show for 10 years. And you know what we're talking about today? The same topic we talked about 10 mm-hmm. years ago when I came on.
Exactly.
Why?
And isn't it...
They're in the same business. They're
right.
in the same business. So
but
my
you know,
question for vote, Mike, hold on. My question for voters. Here's my question mark for voters. What is the business that you as a voter think you are in? And I look, and I get blank stares. And you know why I get blank stares, Michael? It's not very understandable. Because people have been trained and conditioned to want to be lied to. So if people want the politician to lie to you, what do you think they're going to do, Mark? Hmm. Did you need to go to get a Harvard MBA to figure that out?
Well, this is the problem. Mark, you gave people an example. You took a bad time and made it a better time. And you would have a better time if the government would get out of your way.
Absolutely.
This is so unbelievable.
And Mike, you can't deny that. We've got a flight of heroes for Honor Flight Buffalo Niagara going out April 30th. And I say heroes because 50 World War II vets, Korean and Vietnam. But the World War II vets, the great generation, I think you all agree. You talk about these guys that weren't worldly. They went and fought a fight and came back and were humble. Now you get, you know, if one of my guys, you said, you know, one of the guys in the shop call another one poopy head. They come and they see you. You know, this world is changed. We've got to get to business. They're kind of running on the coattails of everything, every veteran, every business owner that built this country. And you know what? They're not rebuilding as they go forward, Mike, and we're just, you know, deplenishing everything.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, Larkin, I'm going to ask you a question. Who's stopping America from being able to be its own supply chain?
Well, it was basically done by major corporations who bought off the politicians who let it happen.
Who is stopping it now, today?
Who is stopping it now, today?
Right.
Politicians who are on the dole.
So we have to then get rid of those politicians and maybe open the door up for some brand new people who have not been politicians, who understand the plight of American workers, bring them in to do something different, and let's get America moving again. We're a great power in the world, but we're no longer a manufacturing power.
And the country spoke, and they elected Donald Trump, which was unique and different. And the press and Washington took a guy who was totally unique in his approach to just about everything. It was, you know, it was blood and guts. This is how this works, and this is what we're going to do. And they made fun of him. He was a little bit easy to make fun of at times. There's no question of that. But listen, his reign as president could have been as disastrous as its conclusion, but it wasn't, because he truly, truly did get stuff done, because he went against the standard issue out of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
And that's what scared Washington. That's what scared the press. And that's now they put us into a place where we have a president who can't even put 15 words together on a stage, cannot independently think and independently answer, and has a staff that's so stupid they would pull off that stunt that they pulled off with Barack Obama in the White House and just absolutely embarrass their leader.
Selfish.
I mean, the man was standing there looking for somebody to talk to.
That's right. I saw that on TV.
And they let that happen. So, listen, we have major, major problems. No question about it. And it's because people would rather argue as politicians than they would resolve problems. It's just simply that plain. And I saw a picture the other day, and it almost brought a tear to my eye. And they were talking about the prior administrations, and they showed a picture of Ronald Reagan, that tall, lanky lovebird we can't get enough of, sitting in a Queen Anne type chair with his legs crossed, and who was sitting next to him in the White House? In the Oval Office, Chip O'Neill. And that's the way Republicans and Democrats should govern. And unfortunately, they can't do that right now, because they live in a world where I have to hate you because you're Republican.
Yeah, but you know, Larkin, let me just
add. No, but Larkin's right. See, Larkin is 100. Michael, Larkin, you could not be more correct. And voters, not enough voters have figured out that this extreme polarization immensely benefits the two parties. It doesn't benefit voters. It benefits the parties. And so if it's lucrative, Mark, are they gonna say, you know what, this is too lucrative a way, Mark. Let's find a less lucrative way. Of course they're going to stick with the lucrative way. Trafficking and all of this, I like to say, the extolling of the stupid, the hysterical, and the paranoid. If it's lucrative, they're not going to stop it, Michael. They're going to keep doing it. They're going to advance. They're going to keep expanding operations, as they've been doing.
Well, when Donald Trump was in, he spoke as the president. However, there are governors who speak. There are state representatives, congresspeople. Right now, every one of them should not sell themselves as a Democrat or a Republican, but what they have to offer for the well-being of American workers, America's family, and America's future. Richard, the supply chain issue makes America look like fools, that we can't supply our own country, our own people.
I am literally living the supply chain problems now to the point where I don't know how my I don't know how and if my business will survive. I mean,
Richard,
I'm living, Mark,
Richard,
living
well
it. When the reprobate complains to me that the blue cheese is off the supermarket shelf and he's gotta get stuck with the ranch dressing for his wings, I tell him that's a first world problem. There are people whose livelihoods are actually in question, in doubt, Michael, right now. And in fairness to Trump, when he ran, I do believe I would not have voted for him twice. I would not have volunteered for his. I wrote call scripts for the campaign, Michael, and I was never offered money, nor did I ask for money. I have no doubt that when he ran with the sincere intentions of trying to improve the country. But the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal forgot the most important point and cardinal point of sales, Michael, which is that you're only as good as your last sale. It isn't about what's fair. Life ain't fair.
That's right.
It ain't fair from the moment you exit the womb. Our introduction to this world is the doctor smacking us in the face. Welcome to planet Earth. And in the end, Michael, Trump became what he claimed he was against. He became what he claimed he was against.
Part of the problem, Rich, I'll tell you what part of the problem. You know what? Part of the problem is he paid too much attention to the national media. Instead of, he was trying to play, you know, fight his way out of a paper bag. They work day and night to drive him insane.
Well, that's Sun Tzu, Michael. That's Trump. Trump didn't brush up on his Sun Tzu, because had he read The Art of War, he would have read Sun Tzu say that you never wage a war in which you stand to gain nothing.
Right.
There is not a single pitch that Donald Trump didn't swing at in his 4 years as president.
Right.
And in the end, it cost him the election, and in the end,
right,
he succumbed to all of the dark forces that he claimed he was once against.
Yeah,
that
right
is why
very
Donald
well
Trump's political brand needs to be politically killed.
Yes.
The Donald Trump political brand needs to be killed, because Trump went from a we to a me. He went from a guy who said, I'm going to be honest with you, to a guy who said, wow, all of these people want me to lie to them. I guess I'll lie to them. Once you go from we to me, your power is gone, Mark. And you know who never forgot that? Barack Obama. That man never forgot. He never went we to me. I don't care if somebody doesn't like him or not. It doesn't matter whether one likes him or not. He never forgot that. And I wish that Trump had honestly followed a little bit of the Obama playbook and could have simply left that office gracefully. You think Barack Obama wanted to meet Donald Trump on January 20th, 2017? He would have rather gotten a root canal vasectomy same time without joking than have been at that place to meet Trump. But why did he do it? Because he understood that no one man is about the president. The presidency belongs to the people, Mark.
Yep.
So in the end, Trump became what he said he was against.
You're right. I agree 100%.
Not my fault. And that's not my fault or your fault, Mark, or your fault or anywhere. Henry's fault. That's Trump's fault. Trump
right
is the one who betrayed us. It is not the other way around.
I agree with 95% of what you said. And Donald Trump did become a product of Washington, D.C. rather than the other way around, which is what his intent was. No question. I agree with you 100%. But the problem that Trump had was that he was so egomaniacal that he reacted the way he did, which was the wrong way.
Right.
Instead of him saying, you know, up yours. You know, I don't care what you think. Here's what we're doing. Instead of him doing that, he played Joe popularity. He couldn't imagine why people didn't think he was the smartest, brightest, quickest stud in the world. And the fact of the matter is, he was the furthest thing in the world from being what he thought he was. And that's what really ultimately, I think, ate him alive. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he switched. I think he just didn't know how to handle Washington, D.C. He just didn't. He thought he was just untouchable.
He didn't intertwine politics and, you know, being a business person. You have to do that. When you're in Washington, you have to become a real leader, but a positive leader.
Remember now, they never stopped taking shots, ever.
Ever. You're right.
Never took their foot off.
He got in there, they never stopped taking shots at him, and that becomes pretty overbearing. I mean, you're trying to govern a country, and yet the press, the press was responsible for...
Absolutely.
How many times did they try to impeach the guy?
But, you know...
He tried like three
absolutely.
Times.
Mark...
While he was president.
Mark, Larkin, Rich, Henry, everybody else, I want to say this. No matter what the press was doing to Trump, the 535 people elected to do for the American people were not doing what they were supposed to be doing, which was to try to make sure there's incentives to keep businesses here rather than allow them to move overseas, not for them to bring stuff over here without a tariff. You put tariff on all that foreign stuff and you'll see how fast they'll want to move to America to avoid those tariffs. That's the thing we're not looking into. Those people are playing politics, not really representing the people that they were elected to.
And guys, let's remember Trump was a lone ranger because his team didn't even back him until he won, and they had to.
Well, that's true too. Yes, absolutely. You're right. Mm-hmm. Then everybody said, wow, we never expected this to happen. But it did happen. But while he was in there the 4 years, if you look at the record of the House and the Congress, they were playing like they were members of the national news media instead of doing the good that they could have done to put tariffs on that would never have been able to be taken off and to give incentives to businesses so that they would come and stay here in America. Uh-oh, I hear the music. Hey, you know, guys, I thought this was a great show. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very happy Easter, a very happy holiday to everyone who is celebrating a special occasion at this time. We support the Ukrainians. What's going on in the Ukraine is unbelievable. It's unbelievable in 2022 that this could even happen, and leaders of the world are sitting back and not speaking up. It's unbelievable. There should be unity of the world leaders. Hey, glad we're not buying anything, not a crumb from you. But no, it's not that way. They need that oil. They need that grain. They need whatever he's selling them. And boy, this has turned into a nightmare. It's a bad example. What happened in the Ukraine is what happened in Poland 82 years ago. But that time we had no social media and everything else. So this is strange. May God bless all of you and God bless America. Pray for world peace and support American made.
Happy Easter, guys, and have a great week.
Happy Easter, everybody.